Welcome to The Urban Doctor. This is a show where you get to learn a lot about health. And today we're going to be talking about something that most of us have actually done. The question is, do we do it the right way? My name is Darren Bartlett, and in the studio, I have a very brilliant person that I've come across, Dr. Melody Arindaje. Did I get the name right?
Yes.
Yay, Arindaje. So I hope I got that right. And we're going to be talking about medicine over the counter. People who buy medicine, in pharmacies. So we want to understand what is the best practice. If you go to buy medicine, how should you go about it? And all that kind of information. Now, if you have any question that you want to ask, please go through our WhatsApp number 0755-7555-75. That is on your screen there. Doctor, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for inviting me here. I'm just surviving the sun like every other Ugandan. And I need sunscreen probably, which is over the counter. So
I actually didn't know that you, as being an African, you need sunscreen until we had to go through this kind of situation.
Yes.
Welcome.
And nice.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Let's talk about medicine over the counter. It is a practice that everyone, almost all of us, have gone through. We go to the counter and, you know, buy medicine. But in your medical terms, how would you define that? What does it mean when someone says medicine over the counter?
Medicine over the counter is medicine where you walk into a pharmacy, what in Uganda we usually call pharmacies, but some of them are simply like drug shops. And you walk in, these are community pharmacies, and you tell them, I have flu, I have cough, I want medicine for this or medicine for the other. And this is medicine that the pharmacy can legally simply give to you. Mm-hmm. Over-the-counter medicine is medication that is not controlled by the government, because we also have other categories of medicine. Mm-hmm. For example, if you look at medicines for diseases like cancer, you can't just wake up in the morning and go to any pharmacy and just buy, because these medications are very toxic and they have serious effects, so you can't just buy. So medicine over the counter is medicine that does not require you to have a prescription. It's medicine that is relatively safe for use. And it's also medicine that is targeted to treat either emergency conditions or common illnesses in society. So in Uganda, for example, most of the medicines that we sell over the counter, of course, we have the painkillers, Panadol and its relatives. And then, so that is like the first class of painkillers. There are the other high classes that also are not over the counter. Mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, things like deworming, or if you have a general abdominal discomfort, food poisoning, drugs like metronidazole. We also have medications for flu, cough, just such simple medicines. Anti-malarials in Uganda, you can be able to get them. So over-the-counter medications need to be safe. And these are medicines that the law tells us they need to be readily available to all people. So if you came to the hospital, you have a child at home who is throwing up excessively, and I told you first line up, pay consultation, do this. Mm-hmm. We may not be effective because the child may have already died. Mm. So there needs to be some medication that you can just get quickly to solve
a
problem.
It's like a quick fix.
Yes, it's like a quick fix. Or it's something that's likely to happen a bit more commonly. Like in Uganda, we have issues of dust. And so people are likely to get flu here and there quite a number of times. So really, if you get flu, you don't need to first pay consultation. You can go to the pharmacy and they give you a simple cetirizine. And you go back home, you take for 5 days, you become okay.
So pharmacies are like an extension, they do an extension work for hospitals.
Yes.
But to fix, like you said, like the quick fixes.
Yes.
But again, you mentioned something that was interesting. You mentioned drug, no, you said a clinic.
Yes. They are clinics, they are
drug shops,
they are hospitals, they are pharmacies. Yes.
How do you differentiate? Just in your scientific terms, differentiate for
okay,
us.
Okay, so a drug shop is a bit smaller. The way it's set up, the amount of drugs that it's licensed to have by law, they are fewer. Mm. So drug shops is what you typically find mostly in the villages or, you know, there's the pharmacies that you find on the main road. that are well constructed, have a big name, they have glass, good lighting. That is a pharmacy.
And so
a pharmacy, yes,
so
a pharmacy has standards, a standard space that it must occupy. It needs to have a license of a pharmacist that supervises it. It has specific medications that it can have and things like that. A drug shop is what you would commonly find in a parish, for example. There are not usually well structured, and they don't usually have a lot of medications, but they have the basics that you would need. An antimalarial, there is Panadol, and even when you talk about something like Panadol, it may not have these high-end brands of Panadol. It's just, you know, to serve about 100, 200 people in that small vicinity.
On their budget.
Yes, on that budget. So it will have most of the cheaper drugs and just enough to solve any emergency. And then from there, you go to a clinic or a hospital. Yes.
Oh, okay. So the clinic is like the smaller version of a hospital?
Yes, it's like a smaller version of a hospital, really. Okay. And it's, yeah.
Okay, so when it comes to these pharmacies and drug shops, are they allowed to prescribe? So if I walked into a pharmacy and I had a challenge, a health challenge, are they allowed to diagnose and prescribe?
So, as I said earlier, over-the-counter medications are medicines that can be dispensed. So dispensing in pharmacy language is giving out the medication, administering it to the person who has come to buy the medicine. So for over-the-counter medicines, yes, pharmacies are permitted to dispense these medications to the community without a prescription, in a sense. Because a prescription, by definition, is a document that is written and signed by a doctor on medication that should be for a particular disease or illness. So if you go to the pharmacy and you say, I have cough, and they ask you, is it dry? Or does it pain? Or it's not. They will not write a document, then they first sign it, then you pay another fee or whatever, but then they'll tell you this can work. So they'll dispense the medication immediately. That is sort of how over-the-counter works. So for that particular kind of medication, it is licensed, it is okay for the person whom you find in the pharmacy to give you that medication. But then we have medications that you can still find in a pharmacy, but are supposed to be what we call prescription-only medications. Like certain classes of antibiotics, for example. Maybe another day I'll come here and we shall talk about antimicrobial resistance.
You're going to be here.
But yes, maybe another day I'll come and talk about antimicrobial resistance. But there are other medicines that you'll find within a pharmacy. As I've said, for example, anti-cancer medication. You look at medication maybe for hormonal illnesses. Mm. Because we have over-the-counter emergency plan B morning after pill. But then these other drugs that have hormones that you take for a longer time that have the potential to manipulate your body. Ideally, you need a doctor to first check and be like, okay, you have no issues or you have issues. This can work. This may not work. So there are some drugs that you'll find in a pharmacy, but they ideally, and I'm using the word ideally because sometimes they do give them out without prescription, but that is not right.
If someone just comes and says, I want maybe this kind of medicine.
Yes, like an antibiotic. For example, an antibiotic like azithromycin. I'm sure each one of us during COVID took azithro one for 3 days. It comes in like a packet with three tablets.
With three tablets in
it. And it's supposed to be only by prescription. But sometimes, you know, you find maybe the demand is too high or there's an outbreak of a disease in a community. And because as the healthcare team, we have to meet the needs of the community, you cannot follow the law at the expense of life.
True.
So if there is a COVID outbreak and we find out that this particular medicine is helping us solve this problem, I'm not going to refuse to give it out, yet it could save life, because we must not give it out by law, though it has potential long-term effects.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it is allowed for certain medicines to be given out. There are actually documents. I don't want to go into those details.
No.
I don't want to go into those details. But the Ministry of Health has a booklet where they talk about what medicines you can just get from a pharmacy, what medicines need a doctor. And even in medicines that need doctors, there are also levels. Because there are medicines that can be prescribed by a general doctor, but there are medicines that need a specialist in that area. Mm-hmm. For example, if you look at medicine for, maybe someone is going in for a surgery and we need to give them a specific kind of anesthesia, it needs a specialist to actually write that this patient needs this in this dose. There are drugs where you find there are books that are even checked by police. We have like opioid drugs like morphine that we give for people who have cancer. Mm. You write in police, in a book, this drug has been given to this patient by this pharmacy, and you keep the record. When they come to give, to check how much you have, if you're saying that you sold 16 bottles, you have to show that there are 16 empties.
Oh, 16 empties.
Yes.
Okay.
And
okay.
You don't just malaga distribute in the community. Mm, mm. So medicine is highly regulated, and rightly so, because it can potentially be very harmful to an individual and to the community and society at large.
Actually, that's where I was getting next. I was saying that now we, you know, our viewers, many times when they fall sick, probably the first point of, you know, touch or the first thing that comes into their mind is, I think I need a clinic nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually they buy. I don't know what informs their decision to buy whatever they're buying. But the question is that what are the dangers to now our viewer, which is like the individuals, what are the dangers of them buying medicine over the counter?
Okay, so as I've said, over the counter medicines are specific. And one of the biggest problems, I will say, that we have, especially in the Ugandan setting, is copycat therapy, where you feel like last week, my brother had this and this. They gave him Amoxil, Panadol, and Cetirizine. Now that I'm also feeling similar symptoms, it must be the same thing. And then you just go to the pharmacy and pick the same exact medicine. The problem with that is that, now to the general public, the problem with that is that sometimes you find that everyone's body is different. For example, there are people who, maybe for them, when they get stressed, they eat too much. And other people, when they get stressed, they eat less. There are people who are like that. And so by virtue of the fact that stress alone, not just sickness, we all have different responses to it. Mm. It also means that in terms of diseases and the way sicknesses affect our bodies, everybody has a different kind of response. So you and I could both be having fever, we could both be having nausea, we could both be having pain. I could have malaria, you could have a bacterial infection, and someone else could have a viral infection, and someone else could just be stressed, and someone else could actually be pregnant. Mm. So you find that we could have the exact same symptoms, but have seven different illnesses. Mm. But because the symptoms present the same way,
and they're always the same.
You just go
fever,
to the hospital
headache.
And get.
Okay.
And the
okay.
funny thing is that sometimes that medicine may give you some relief in the short term. So if maybe you have pain and you're having nausea and you have maybe you're oversweating, they may give you some medicine. Maybe they'll give you Panadol, something to help with the nausea. Then they'll give you like an antibiotic. But in real life, you could be sick of malaria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the funny thing is the Panadol will take away the pain and the fever. The anti-vomiting will take away the nausea. But the malaria itself, the germ that causes malaria will remain in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2-3 weeks later, you go back. And there's a story that we hear. Nagenda mu pharmacy ne bampe dagala ne teliyakola oba buli week nkomawo, such stories. And that's because you copy, it gives you some sort of symptomatic relief temporarily, but in the long term it doesn't actually solve the actual problem that you have. And what is happening in the meantime is that problem is becoming worse and it's becoming more complicated. So by the time you actually now go to that hospital, what was just simple malaria is complicated malaria, and you need admission, you need, it's possibly even life-threatening. Mm-hmm. What was a simple infection is now getting into meningitis, mm-hmm. and now it's a whole different story medically. Mm-hmm. And so what I would advise for the general public, first of all, is not to be in the habit of simply getting medications over the counter. Because while they are there, while they are accessible, there is some potential long-term risk to you as an individual. As I've said, for us in the healthcare system, we are there to make sure that you receive the medical care that you need. So you're not going to come to me in the pharmacy and I refuse to give you medicine that could potentially save your life. Sure. But it is important that you as an individual, you look after your own self. And know that, yes, I'm having these symptoms, but I may need to check with a doctor. The other thing about over-the-counter medications is that medications have what we call contraindications, interactions with other things, and also everybody's body is different. So, for example, there are medications that a pregnant woman should not take. Right? Mm-hmm. There are medications that if you're taking alcohol, you should not take. Mm-hmm. For example, I give an example of metronidazole. It's usually given for stomach upset. Mm-hmm. But if you take it and you're taking alcohol, you're likely to get very bad side effects. There are medications that maybe if you have a history of diabetes, if you have a history of ulcers, if you have a history of maybe hypertension, or you've ever been treated for an infection and you took a certain kind of drug, you got an allergy, you should not take. But all these details can only be gotten when you actually go through the whole consultation and get a proper prescription. Sure. If you just walk into the pharmacy and say, I feel like my stomach is paining, I want this and this and this, I may just give you a drug, and when you go home and take it, it causes issues. Mm. Or you can come into the pharmacy. Maybe you are in the first three phases of your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. We give you a medication and it causes long-term issues to your unborn child or to yourself. So it's really important. I cannot stress enough the importance of actually going to the hospital to get prescriptions, to get medication.
Get tested and then
get so tested and get the get the right medication.
Yeah.
And also the right kind of dose, the right kind of duration, the right kind of there's really so much.
there is a question I came across while I was working on this presentation for you. It's a gentleman complained about previously, the drug was working. Been walking into the pharmacy, buy it, and it's been working. Mm-hmm. Now it doesn't work. What could have been, what do you think is the cause of?
Okay.
The habit is the same.
Yes.
Over the counter.
That depends on certain factors. One, it depends on the particular condition that it was targeted to treat. And it also depends on the lifestyle of the patient. So, because that kind of narrative could exist for different kinds of medication. For example, it could exist for hypertension. Yes, if a patient is hypertensive, they would get the first line medication that, you know, if someone comes, they have high blood pressure. When you're just starting, you give this. And it may begin to work. But such kinds of medicines, ideally, maybe some other day, we shall also talk about lifestyle.
It's just, it looks like it's a lot for us. Okay.
Yes. Mm. But so you need to take such medication with lifestyle modifications alongside that. Mm. So if you don't do the other things that they have told you to do, the medication may, in the long run, now stop working. The other thing, I had hinted on it earlier when I talked about the idea of copycat medication. Mm. Sometimes you could get medicine that can give you brief symptomatic relief. For a short time, it may take away some of the problems that you face, but it's not solving the actual problem. And so, yes, in the first week, it may work. And then you think you're fine. And then you stop taking the medicine, and then you fall sick again after a month, you go back, get the same medication, it helps a bit, but by the time you go back to get it the third time, it's now not working.
Is it also possible that one's body can start to resist medicine? Okay, if it's overused to a certain particular medicine and it stops working,
that's other thing that I wanted to talk about because...
Oh, sorry, I got you to your
presentation. Okay. No. Like, there is another issue of antimicrobial resistance whereby... Let me use Chibuoko as an example. We have children who are very naughty. Mm. And when they are young, P1, P2, you give some Chibuoko. But by the time my child reaches like senior 5, there's a point when children reach, and if you've overbeaten them when they are young, it's no longer that big of a deal. Like, you could beat them as much as you want, but it's not going to, you know, say, and then the child starts shaking. No, it's not that big of a deal. You've beaten me before. I've seen the worst of it. Bring it on. And so... the same thing happens with the germs in our body, that if you just keep on beating them with the same thing all the time in the same way, they adjust. Be like, hey, so every day when you want to get rid of me, you punch holes this side. Mm. Now let me put bulletproof wall. And so now you find that sometime back, this was working, but now it's not working. The best example that I can give for that is malaria. Back in the day when I was born, we used to use quinine, chloroquine. Those are the drugs that we used to use. But over time, malaria has become resistant to some of those medications. Mm. So now the first line that you'll find in Uganda clinical guidelines is at methylomefantrine, Coartem, what we commonly know as Coartem. Four yellow
tablets.
Yes. So, but that happens also for bacteria. It can happen for viruses. It happens for TB. I think TB is now becoming a really big issue. Even gonorrhea is becoming a big issue. But antimicrobial resistance is a very big topic that I think we shall talk about it another day. But it is true that the person who had medicine that stopped working, it could be either they did not do the right thing alongside the medication. It could be that their body became resistant. It could be that they were taking the wrong medication. It could also be that maybe they were taking the wrong dose of the medication. So it could be anything. It could be anything.
I know our time is fast spent, but maybe in our closing, in the next 2 minutes that probably we have, just talk about the drug abuse.
Yes.
Just in 2 minutes, but drug abuse and how people should not abuse medicine.
Okay. You know,
because they have access to it in the pharmacies.
Okay. So first of all, drug abuse is using medication in a way that is harmful to the body and is not the right way for it to be used. For example, drug abuse can look like having medication that should be for pain, for example, pethidine or fentanyl, and taking it for any other purposes, right? That could be drug abuse, drug misuse. They're really different kinds of words.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we abuse drugs knowingly, and unfortunately, sometimes we abuse drugs unknowingly. How do we abuse drugs unknowingly is you probably just went to the over-the-counter and just picked medication. And so you're using a drug wrongly, which is drug abuse, but you're not consciously aware that it is what you are doing.
Yeah.
But sometimes we really abuse medication. There are drugs like caffeine. Okay, I'm a pharmacist, and so for me, every chemical is a drug.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most commonly abused drugs, I would say, is like caffeine, especially by people who drive long distances. You find these askaris who work overnight. People buy a lot of drugs from pharmacies just to sustain mm-hmm. life. One of the other big issues, which I'll maybe also talk about that some other day, but one of the other big issues that we have is erectile dysfunction, ED. And very many people are abusing medication because of that. And people go and buy medication that is supposed to be lowering blood pressure, antihypertensives, the likes of sildenafil and Viagra. But maybe that's a sensitive topic.
No. It's not. But anyway. I know we've run out of time. Yes. But you know, thank you so much for coming, Dr. Melody. Indeed, I have to bring you back.
I need to be back.
We look at these diseases that people are consuming medicine for, like they're buying medicine to go and self-medicate. We need to really look at those ones. Thank you so much for viewing Urban TV. This show will be on social media platforms, definitely. As a repeat, if you missed it, so don't worry about that. If you caught it a little bit late when it has gone, and of course, doctor will come back sometime and we continue with this conversation. You've been an amazing viewer. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.